We go and grab a quick bite.
We watch a movie, then fight.
We're the Fast Food Film Friends.
You're listening to Fast Food Film Friends, the show that is way past its prime, but keeps moving forward, despite the U.S. government urging us not to.
That is correct. This week, we are talking about Top Gun Maverick, just a little indie flick that I don't think many people have heard of, but hopefully this will get a nice quad F bump to That's right. Box office sales. While eating Arby's Wagyu Steakhouse Burger, which I cannot tell you, Nathan, I am so excited about.
From IMDb, the plot summary of Top Gun Maverick reads as follows. After more than 30 years of service as one of the Navy's top aviators, Pete Mitchell is where he belongs, pushing the envelope as a courageous test pilot and dodging the advancement in rank that would ground him.
Wow, envelope. Look at you. Very fancy. That's not how I would approach that word. But
I'm brushing up on all my my European
that's nice.
Dialects.
That's nice. And from Arby's.com, get ready to come in your pants. No, I'm sorry. The Wagyu Steakhouse Burger features a patty made with a premium blend of American Wagyu and ground beef, layered with American cheese, shredded lettuce, tomato pickles, red onion, and a special burger sauce on a toasted buttery brioche bun. That is just, I mean, it's classic. It's timeless. There's no gimmicks in there. I can't fucking wait to eat that sandwich.
So I've heard the word Wagyu thrown around for years. It's kind of a buzzword in like the meat lover community.
It is.
Do you actually know what makes Wagyu special?
It's how the cow lives his life. He's fed a very special diet. I believe it has to be a certain type of cow. You know, so the muscle and fat mixture is almost perfectly marbled.
Exactly.
Throughout the meat. Right. Don't quiz me on my meat, Nathan. I know my meats.
Arby's brags that this burger has the largest single patty in the quick service restaurant game.
How big of a patty?
6.4 ounce patty. Apparently that's, I mean, cause think about like your doubles and triples or multiple patties. This is the biggest single patty.
Wow. Thick boy.
This is made with a blend of 52% American Wagyu and 48% ground beef.
Okay, all right.
We call that an Al Gore majority.
Yeah. They really had to make it bigger just because they were like, we don't have enough Wagyu, so let's pump it with some ground beef.
Now, that 52% American Wagyu, for those who don't know, that's a Japanese beef.
Yes.
American Wagyu is a cross between Japanese Wagyu and, quote, high-quality continental breeds of cattle.
Hmm.
So what that means is that these burgers,
yeah, 75%.
These burgers are not 52% Wagyu. They're 52% of a mixture of Wagyu and high quality beef. Did you know that Continental Beef actually was the first name of World War I?
No, but I actually love that. That's just a phenomenal joke that you just made. The amount of Wagyu in here concerns me almost not at all, because I feel like at this point, unless you're in Japan eating like a $300 piece of meat, you're not getting real Wagyu beef. And like I was at, there's a restaurant here called Cafe Hollander that has a Wagyu dog, hot dog on their menu that's wrapped in bacon. And I'm like, how much of this is high quality meat? Like, but it can't be more than 10%. But you know, Arby's knows their meats. You know, we like their meats.
This level of authenticity, we'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
It would not work for Tom Cruise.
Mm-mm.
If Tom Cruise made this burger, not only would it be 100% Wagyu, there would be a video playing in the drive-thru telling you that what you're eating is the real deal.
We've got real Wagyu, real brioche buns, real cheese.
We did it for you.
Oh, God. That little message at the beginning of this movie was just, I feel like it was exactly what I needed to get, because I was not sold fully on this movie. Like, I was excited about it, but I needed something to get me there. And he's just, we're going to have some conversations about Tom Cruise, I think, in general today. But just the amount of dedication that man has to his craft. I was, and we talked about Tom Cruise plenty on this podcast, not always the biggest fan of Tom Cruise. Still not the biggest fan of Tom Cruise. You're like a simp for Tom Cruise, I would say. And it's just, it is like this guy, he's probably got some other things going on in his life, but it seems like all he wants to do is just insane stunt work and just push everything to the limit as much as possible in the realest way possible. And this movie is truly a testament to just his almost obsessive dedication to that.
Speaking of obsessive dedication, listeners know that our plans for this podcast often don't come to fruition.
Yes.
Many times we had this idea, we're going to do this food. Yeah. We're so excited. And then it falls through.
Correct.
And
are you telling me you didn't get the Wagyus?
I got the Wagyus.
Okay.
But it was very close.
Mm.
We have ears in the streets.
Yeah.
You know, we have fast food film fans.
Absolutely.
Who come to us. Mm-hmm. And they say not only, hey, are you reviewing this thing? But they also let us know information.
Yeah.
And I've been told by multiple people that some Arby's are sold out of the Wagyu.
Oh my God.
For good.
Can you imagine? For good?
Yeah. Like there was, I guess, a certain amount of supply to each one.
Well, I mean,
once they sold out, there was no more.
When you're putting at least 20 to 21% Wagyu into each patty, you know, that's gonna go pretty quick. That's gonna go pretty quick.
And I today I called my local Arby's. They were out.
I bet you they have a caller ID at like all of the fast food restaurants in the Madison area. Just like, oh my fucking God, is this dude again? What limited time offerings are we doing? What is he going to ask about?
My local Arby's sold out.
Ooh, on the west side.
On the west side.
Okay.
I also called, there's one in Verona now.
Yeah.
Which I know for the listeners, this is fascinating if you're not from where we live. They were sold out.
No way.
Then found on Google, because the one that we used to go to that's closest to your place where we are now closed
Park
a while
Street.
Back, which was a tragedy.
Absolute.
Turns out there's another one here in Madison. Did you know? Don't look it up. I want you to. I mean, I'm not going to make you guess.
Can you see how fast my fingers went to my mouth?
I just want to describe to you. It's on the southeast side.
Is it attached to a gas station?
Yes.
No, it's not.
It is. And it's a gas station / park and ride / bus station. Or bus stop.
Where is this?
It is out by Monona.
Yeah.
Like way far out. You can drive right past it.
Yep, yep.
I almost missed my turn. You can drive right past it.
I caught a bus there once.
It seemed like that's like probably a stop where you would get far out of town.
Yeah.
Like that's where a bus would come. And there was no one there. Like no customer wise. Like there was not a soul there. I tried going in the lobby. The lobby was just locked and it said drive through only. And I was the only car there.
Yeah.
The only reason they still have it is because no one knows this Arby's exists.
And yeah, that's, and I mean, let's face it. People who are, you know, hopping on the bus probably aren't going to spring for the Wagyu beef anyways. You know, they're going classic beef and cheddar. Hey,
I would love to take one of those. I mean, I'd take a meat mountain on the road.
Oh God, that would travel well.
You could still be eating it when you're in Minnesota.
Oh, and North state Dakota. After state, you'd have just meat after meat left.
One meat per state.
One meat per state. That's exactly right. You could travel for days.
Speaking of days, it's been many days since we've talked about some nimble news, some things we've been doing in our lives.
Yeah.
What do you say we knock out some of those?
I'd like to do that.
Nimble news.
Nimble news is the part of the show where we review all things new as quickly as we can do. New music, series, purchases, experiences, even new food or movies that we don't have time for in our main discussion. Kevin, are you ready?
I am.
Let's go.
Nathan, I tried something that to me was almost a total revelation. I love a good cheeseburger, as you and the fans of this show know. I love a good burger of any kind, really, even without cheese, even a hamburger. But I was craving a burger the other night, but I thought, man, you know, I got to get my summer bod going. I don't need a burger. What's maybe a good compromise? And I was looking, I was researching, I'm calling restaurants, I'm trying to figure it out. And there's a place in Madison, I don't know how worldwide or how far the reach of this restaurant extends, but there's a place called Mooya here in Wisconsin.
Yes.
It's got burgers, fries, shakes. That's kind of their main thing.
It's like Shake Shack in terms of offerings.
Yes. Yeah. Burgers, fries, shakes. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. Very similar to really any burger joint, you could say.
Well.
But Shake Shack specifically, sure. And they have these things called lifestyle burgers. And I thought, well, I've got a lifestyle. That's probably, that could be for me.
My lifestyle is burgers.
You know, it could work. And they have a vegan burger. They've got a paleo burger. They've got a keto burger. I don't know what keto even is still to this day. But the paleo caught my eye. And what it is, Nathan, they basically take a head of lettuce, cut it in half, and use that for the bun. And then they do, I think it's like a double beef patty. You got bacon, avocado, pickles, onion, tomato, mustard on this thing. And I thought, it could be good. And I bought it. I had low expectations. I kind of expected it to be just, you know, some wispy lettuce, the right adjective. Just some really weak lettuce, like a lettuce wrap almost. And I was like, this is not going to be good. Like a Jimmy John's Unwich almost. Uh-huh. But it's like literally half a head of cabbage or of lettuce on either side of this burger. And it was so good that I would take it over a normal burger any day. I don't ever need a bun again. The lettuce is just the crispy, crunchy lettuce that was so well kept. I don't know who they got back there spraying and keeping it chilly, but it was so crisp and so delicious that I can't recommend getting a lifestyle burger from Muya more. It is so goddamn good. It's just the perfect combination of textures and flavors and deliciousness in your mouth. I would highly recommend the Paleo from Muya.
Kevin, I tried Shake Shack's bourbon bacon cheddar chicken sandwich.
I'm glad you did, because the listeners need to know, and I need to know.
This is topped with a sweet and savory bourbon bacon jam. It's made with Maker's Mark.
Oh.
On a recent episode, I talked about my experience with Shake Shack's buffalo chicken sandwich, which
not
was
good.
Shockingly disappointing considering their excellent track record. But, you know, every star player has a bad game. They've put up so many W's, they're allowed to take an L.
Yeah.
They're still going to the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely.
So I gave him another go with this bourbon bacon cheddar chicken sandwich. And this thing is really good. The bourbon bacon jam has a great balance of the smoky, oniony, and the sweet, tangy. You can actually taste that it was made with Maker's Mark, which is a plus in my book. Maybe not for everyone, but this jam is the kind of topping I would expect to find at a really good burger joint and not a fast food chain. So once again, Shake Shack is punching above their class. Mm-hmm. But as I ate the sandwich, I found myself thinking, as much as I really like this, I still feel a little unfulfilled, a little let down.
Wow.
Was there something missing from the flavor profile? Was the texture not quite right?
You needed a lettuce bun.
And then I realized what the problem with this sandwich is. It's not the black truffle burger.
Ah, yeah.
Shake Shack set the bar so impossibly high by that burger that we ate last year. The burger that we unquestionably agreed is the best thing we have ever eaten in our decades of podcasting.
Possibly in our lives.
That burger has ruined me.
Yeah.
Or as you would say, that burger has ruined me.
Yep, that's the correct way to say it.
And it's ruined my expectations from Shake Shack. So let this be a lesson to all other fast food companies.
Mm-hmm.
Offer the people something that's good enough.
Yeah.
But if it's too good, your consumers might start expecting more from you the rest of the time. Mm-hmm. Coincidentally, that also happens to be the mission statement of this podcast.
We like to really just keep it right in the middle of the road, you know? We like to go a cool 45 on the highway. And we're not doing anything too dangerous. Nathan, I'd like to do one NIMBY on two movies, because in my head they fit the exact same fingerprint. No? What's the word I'm looking
it's
for?
It's Jurassic World and Citizen Kane?
No. Close. What's the word I'm looking for? They fit the same profile, I guess?
Mold.
I'd say, of movies that came out and I thought, I'm never going to see that. And I thought, if they come on streaming, I'll watch them one day. But like, realistically, they're going to be bad and I don't care to see them. And these two movies are The Lost City, which is Channing Tatum and Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
And Free Guy, which was Ryan Reynolds' video game movie that came out sometime in the last 4 to 5 years.
I think it was last summer.
Can't be sure. That's how little I care about these movies. The Lost City, my girlfriend wanted to watch, so I agreed to watch it. And, you know, I'm going to review both of these at the same time, because it's the same. It's basically the same thing. These are both two movies that looked, you know, ridiculous from the onset. You know, they both have absurd premises. They both are kind of unusual in their premise, but they've got a good kind of cast of characters. And, you know, they seem entertaining enough. You know?
I mean, they're both comedies, which we actually don't get a lot of in theaters anymore.
And original comedies, you know. Mm-hmm. Which is even more rare. So I went in with an open mind. I watched Free Guy with Aiden. He'd been begging me to watch it. And both of these movies kind of surprised me. I went in with the lowest of the low expectations. But Lost City was fun. It was like an adventure movie. I felt like a little kid again. And the same with Free Guy. I felt like a little kid again. You know, the plots are both kind of predictable. You know, and you know that going in. It's not gonna be phenomenal writing. It's not gonna be twists and turns. You know what you're getting when you go in. And I had a lot of fun with both of these movies. They're not great movies, but they are totally watchable. And they're all streaming now. I think, honestly, Channing Tatum, who makes an appearance in both, is great in both of these. Sandra, I'm not wild about Sandra, but she was pretty funny in this too. Brad Pitt, eating throughout most of his scenes in this movie, which I just love a good Brad Pitt taking a bite of something.
He completely steals the movie.
He does, absolutely. Have you seen it?
Lost City, yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, I loved Brad Pitt in that. And his, there's just, the last time we see his character is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
But man, just a great one. And then with Free Guy, you know, you've got Taika Waititi in there. You've got Steve from Stranger Things in there. And it was, the premise is really cool for a movie. I thought it'd be super dumb. And I was laughing out loud at certain parts. And I, you know, these are just two movies that I would say, if you stumble across them, give them a watch. Definitely worth it. But don't go out of your way. But, you know, pleasantly surprised by The Lost City and Free Guy. So if you need something to just kind of have on, throw those on.
Yeah, Free Guy is one that I've been meaning to watch for a while. Lost City, I really enjoyed it too.
Yeah.
I totally co-sign your endorsement. I think that it's the kind of movie that 5 to 10 years ago, we would probably would like, you'd go see it on like a date night,
yeah,
and then like wouldn't think much about it after.
Correct.
But now there's just so few movies in that ilk,
yeah,
that I really appreciate what it was. I mean, mm-hmm, it's a movie star romantic comedy,
yeah,
that doesn't, you know, it's like you said, it's predictable, but it's not cookie cutter. Like,
yep,
it's still, there's plenty of scenes in the movie that are, yeah, unexpected, and you think,
yeah,
this is just a romp.
Yeah,
it's just a good,
exactly,
time.
Unexpected romp. I think, yeah, for both movies it applies. Also, big shout out to Daniel Radcliffe and Patty Harrison in The Lost City too, who both are just,
yeah, they're great.
So good.
Kevin, I've been watching Obi-Wan Kenobi,
ugh,
on Disney Plus. Longtime listeners of this show are very familiar with my love-hate relationship with Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It was my favorite thing when I was a kid. In recent years, the movies and shows have been a real mixed bag for me. I mean, I don't even want to. Yeah.
Don't get in there.
No.
Don't go down that road.
While watching this Obi-Wan show, I think I finally came to terms with the fact that the key to enjoying Star Wars at this point is to just not give that much of a shit.
Yeah.
Or expect very much at all. Because while I watch this show, there's a voice in the back of my head going, why is this person doing that? Or why does that person know that person? Or, mm-hmm, why can that character do XYZ in one situation, but not at all in another, in the next episode? Just endless nits to pick. The action is just makes me want to pull out my eyebrow hairs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there's another part of me that watches it and thinks, hey, that's a cool lightsaber.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, it's little Princess Leia.
Wow.
That's cool. And the part of me that thinks those things instead is so much happier.
It's your lizard brain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just dial down the investment to about a 2 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And this show's a good time.
You hear that, Star Wars fans? Just care less about Star Wars. And you'll like things more.
I cannot imagine anyone being a passionate fan of this show,
mm-hmm,
but it's a nice time, and I have faith that, you know, someday I think there will be another Star Wars movie or show that'll reignite that love,
mm-hmm,
for this series, yeah, for me all over again, just like The Last Jedi did a while,
yeah,
back. But until then, every time I press play on Star Wars, I'm going full monkey brain, and
it.
I suggest everyone do the same.
I have not watched it yet, but I've heard are the nits from several different sources, and I think, I don't know, I still haven't watched Book of Boba.
I got halfway through and stopped.
Yeah, I haven't, like, we watched 2 episodes and I quit, and I don't need to, so I don't think I'm gonna watch, yeah, Obi-Wan, but I might get around to it, you know?
I think that you are actually in the perfect audience
care
that, yeah, will like it, because you and your son know enough,
yeah,
to get like, oh, this is between this movie and that one, and like, you kind of, you get, yeah, those pieces, but you are not going to be like, wait, that Jedi did that, like,
yeah,
you don't care that much.
No, I don't. That's
so
for sure.
I think it's made for you, so
yeah,
I you guys will probably enjoy it.
I don't even think, yeah, maybe we will,
but it's really, there's 2 episodes left, actually maybe 1 episode left, and I'm not expecting much.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking this is, it's going to end.
Yep.
This is something that I will never, ever, ever, ever watch again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been kind of fun keeping up week to week.
Yeah. Nathan, I've been watching season 3 of Barry.
Mm.
And let me tell you, this is the best television I've watched in years. I cannot tell you enough how good this season has been. Bill Hader has been directing every episode. It is outstanding the work he's doing, directing and acting, his performance. If he doesn't win an Emmy, I will truly be blown away. I will guarantee, you heard it here first, Bill Hader will win an Emmy for this season of Barry. And likely, I don't even know if it's a comedy anymore. Like, it's taken some dark turns. It's still got, you know, very lighthearted moments and things like that. But this season has just been amazing to watch. The season finale just aired on Sunday night. I just got around to watching it last night. I wasn't even going to do a NIMBY on it because I think I've talked about Barry on the show once or twice before. But holy shit, is season 3 phenomenal. If you're not watching Barry, the seasons are short. The episodes are short. Get caught up. Steal someone's HBO password or ask for permission to use it. Thanks again, Dashiell and Dashiell's parents. Even though I don't think they know I'm still using it, I still have it on my phone and I can cast it to my TV, so it works. But man, it's just, honestly, I feel like I have not watched TV this good since like Breaking Bad or The Sopranos when I was younger. Like, I'm just riveted and so invested. It's the exact opposite of how you feel about Obi-Wan. Like, turn on, take the pill from Limitless and use 100% of your brain to watch and absorb everything this show is doing, because it is a true work of art. And I could gush about it all day, Nathan. So you better plug me up before I keep gushing.
I've heard nothing but excellent things about the season of Barry. And I watched the first season back in the day. Yeah. I never got around to continuing it.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have to.
Yeah.
It's in my like top five things that I have to watch. Meanwhile, I'm watching mediocre Star Wars shows.
We throw out another episode of Obi-Wan, turn off my brain to watch this show. I mean, I rewatched seasons 1 and 2 because I was kind of in the same boat of like, I don't really remember exactly what happened. And I think it was a really good refresher. And it's just insane how much the characters have changed from season 1 to where they are now. But holy shit, this season is just perfect.
I watched Norm MacDonald's Nothing Special.
I can't wait to
watch
it.
Which is now streaming on Netflix. Norm MacDonald. One of my all-time favorite comedians. Same. 100%. One of yours as well. For those who may not know the name, he did SNL's Weekend Update in the 90s. He does great stand-up. Mm-hmm. He's might be best known for his talk show appearances on like Conan and Letterman. When he passed away last year from cancer, it felt like the biggest loss in the comedy world in a really long time. He had been sick for years, but no one really knew he was sick outside of his family. Even longtime friends of his have talked about how it was just a complete shock when he passed.
Yeah.
And then we found out that in 2020, he'd been planning to go on tour with a new hour of stand-up, but it got canceled, of course. That summer, he had to go in for surgery. And just in case things had gone south during the procedure, he wanted to have some sort of record of this new material that he put together. He wanted to get things off his chest.
Yep.
So the night before his surgery, he recorded himself in his home on what looks like a webcam, telling the jokes he would have told on stage. There was no one listening. It was not like a Zoom call, even though it kind of looks like one.
Yeah.
It's just this unedited practice session, basically. And he is as funny as ever. And a lot of it is the same kind of absurd observational humor you'd expect from him. And it just had me cracking up. Mm-hmm. A couple jokes delve into topics that I'm really not sure how well they would have landed with an audience. And when he says them in this format, he can start to sound like a crotchety old man.
Yeah.
But what makes this special a must watch is the way he talks about mortality. This is a man who, like, a lot of times when artists or entertainers die unexpectedly, we read into their work in new ways, in more poignant ways.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're a musician, an actor, a writer, we look at what they made and we see kind of the tragic irony in a person writing this song or telling that joke just before they died. But Norm didn't coincidentally focus this much of his material on life and death. This was him trying to make sense of the fact that he had very little time left, even though almost no one else knew that. And he did go on to live for another year or so. But at that time, he recorded this because he thought he might not make it out of the hospital the next day. And a while after he did eventually pass away, his family announced that this recording existed. Netflix released it, but they also added something extra at the end. They brought together a few of his most notable friends and collaborators, David Letterman, Adam Sandler, David Spade, Molly Shannon, Dave Chappelle, and Conan O'Brien, gathered them in a room, showed them the special, and afterwards they just talked.
Wow.
They reacted to what they just watched. They reflected on Norm's life and what he meant to them personally. They told stories about working with him. It's basically a half-hour, six-person podcast.
Wow.
And I would say I think it's slightly too big of a group. Sure. I think there's one or two participants that add. And once you watch it, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's a couple people add very little of value to the conversation, even though they do a lot of the talking. But it's still worth sticking around for to the end, just to hear his SNL castmates tell stories and to hear Conan talk about his experiences with Norm.
Mm-hmm.
The special itself is 100% worth checking out. It is a fascinating, one-of-a-kind thing. It's called Norm Macdonald, Nothing Special, and it's available on Netflix.
Man, I'm going to cry during that. You got me tearing up right now. I'm a crier, as most people know, but I absolutely love and adore Norm Macdonald, and I can't wait to watch it. I did not know that was the second half was kind of that sit-down with his friends, but that sounds absolutely amazing. His appearances on Conan were just like my absolute favorite things in the world. I feel like I've watched those so much in the last year. Wow, I'm very excited about that. I'm going to go a similar route. I was going to stop with my NIMBYs, but I have one more NIMBY to discuss. As you know, and as most people know who listen to this podcast, hi, Mom, we both love Bo Burnham's Inside that came out last year. It made both of our top 10 lists, I believe. Was it my number one?
Might have been. I think it was your favorite, and it was my favorite one up there for me.
I've watched it probably over a dozen times. Absolutely love it. Still laugh out loud. He released, I think 2 weeks ago, he released the Inside Outtakes, which you can listen to on Spotify, just the songs and stuff. But there's an hour-long video on YouTube that has so much more behind-the-scenes clips, more songs that like are better comedy than most comedians are putting out on their specials or on their YouTube, whatever. I sound so old on their YouTube. But like it blows my mind that he cut some of this stuff because it's so good. And it just shows you how high of a bar he has for himself that he's like, this is trash and I'm not going to put it in my special. It's an hour long. It's a lot of, you know, kind of outtakes from stuff you do see in Inside, but it's also a ton of new stuff, a ton of things you haven't seen. Really gets into the process and kind of the madness behind making it. But oh my God, there are just some hilarious things in here. Some great new songs. If you have an hour to spare, throw it on. It's just on YouTube, on his YouTube, called The Inside Outtakes. There's probably not a better way to spend an hour if you like Bo Burnham.
That is all the time we have for Nimble News. Now let's dig in to these Arby's Wagyu Steakhouse burgers.
I forgot about the food. I'm so excited.
All right, let's open these up.
Oh, the sauce kind of looks like a Thousand Island, like Big Mac sauce almost. That's a hearty patty. I mean, that's a thick.
This is very big. This is very big. I mean, I believe them that this is the biggest. Like, I'm not looking at this and saying,
No, it's a thick.
I'm not sure.
Thick burger.
Just to repeat that description real quick, the Wagyu Steakhouse Burger features a patty made with a premium blend of American Wagyu and ground beef, layered with American cheese, shredded lettuce, tomato, pickles, red onion, and a special burger sauce on a toasted buttery brioche bun.
It sounds just so friggin' good.
So it's this special burger sauce that looks kind of like a Thousand Island.
Yep.
Let's go for it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good burger.
Special burger sauce. I just stole Big Mac sauce. It's a very good burger, though. That umami really hits you when you get to the tail end of your bite. That's giving me a black truffle burger vibes almost.
We haven't really mentioned yet. I mean, this is branching out big time for Arby's. Like, burgers are pretty much the one thing that they've stayed away from forever, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
And, they just put that flag on the moon.
I mean, I'm glad that they didn't go, you know, with some crazy gimmicky thing. I'm glad they were just like, we're going to do a burger. We're going to get some good meat. We're going to do, you know, your classic shit on top of it. And we're going to put it out there. And like, this is even, you know, it's not overcooked like most burger patties you get from fast food places. Like, this is pretty nicely prepared. The bun's great.
Between the brioche bun and this burger sauce, you could take even just an average fast food patty, and I think it'd be a pretty good burger.
Absolutely.
But this is a good patty. Like, even though it is between 1 and 52% Wagyu, it's good.
It's good.
I trust the Continental beef.
Yeah. And how much are these? How much are you?
This is a $7 burger.
I'd pay $7 for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a restaurant quality burger.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is what you think of when you think of like, I just want a good cheeseburger. I just want a good, classic, timeless burger.
Clearly the competitors for this is like a thick burger from McDonald's.
Yeah.
I'd say like one of like the Angus burgers from Hardee's. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, did you know that they've all closed in Madison? There's no more anywhere nearby.
They, you know, I feel like they just don't have a good business model somehow.
I don't think. And like their website sucks. I don't know what they're doing.
I don't
doing.
Know. They're not doing much.
But yeah, there's... Are there any other you can think of that are like fast food, like a nice thick patty?
Not this thick. I mean, you think of like the Baconator from Wendy's, but that's multiple patties, you know?
Right.
Which I do love a Baconator. I mean, that stuff is fresh, never frozen, baby. Which I'd be curious to see if these are frozen. Probably. I'd imagine.
They gotta make it over the pond.
But yeah, I don't think there's much. I don't think there's much else I can think of.
This is really more so competing with a restaurant with like a takeout burger.
Absolutely.
And it's, I mean,
like a Red Robin type burger almost.
And it's up to par.
Yeah.
We've probably talked about this many times. This is, by the way, number 9 for Arby's on the show.
God. We're about to hit double digits on Arby's.
Statistically, one out of about every 6 episodes is Arby's.
They never miss. I mean,
they don't miss.
If they ever have a bad thing that we try, let's put them away and let's not go back for like a year. Freeze them out. We'll
that
ice them.
Is what I'm saying is that I do not understand how Arby's. I mean, Arby's is kind of a punchline, right?
Nobody goes except for
people.
Us.
People don't take Arby's seriously. It's like people just joke about like insane fast food.
Yeah,
it's maybe Taco Bell, but probably Arby's. And it's I get that their brand. Is we have the meats. Like, they had their whole meat carrot thing. Like, that's like, they are not appealing to, like, do you need something healthy on the go?
No.
Do you need something for you and the kids on the way to soccer practice? No. They're like, come eat something that will make you fall into a minor coma.
Come put a pound of single ply roast beef into your mouth.
So I understand why they have that stigma.
I think like, if people say, like, let's go get fast food, and you were to say, what about Arby's? You would get laughed out of the group and kicked out of the car.
And for the 9th time, everyone else is wrong.
I know.
Arby's is fantastic.
I don't know. I don't know how to, what else we can do to spread the word.
And we've had the Meat Mountain.
Oh, the Meat Mountain. Nathan's arteries are already clogging up.
We've had a few ridiculous things in there, and they still taste great, but it's like, No normal person just going to go casually get one of those. But I think this burger, what?
If you were to go to that Arby's that you got this from today and order the Meat Mountain, would they have put a Wagyu patty on the Meat Mountain?
Oh my God.
Because that.
Has the Meat Mountain changed forever?
I don't know.
Wow. I want that.
Yeah.
It would cost, I think,
$35. Yes.
I think this burger absolutely, this solidifies once and for all. Arby's is the best fast food chain, and I will hear no arguments.
I mean, okay.
Because this is them finally. I mean, they've always had a bit of a niche.
When they put a taco out, then I might be able to agree with you. But you can't compare an Arby's to a Taco Bell.
I'm comparing all of them to each other.
All right, fine.
And I think that plenty of restaurants, for example, Arby's and Taco Bell, they mostly stay in their lane. Mm-hmm. Arby's is like, we have the beef and the steak. Shit.
Yeah.
And Taco Bell has Mexican. I mean, there's plenty of examples of places that kind of do their own thing.
Yeah.
This is them saying, we're going to do something that everyone else does. And on our first try, we're going to beat everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is. It's bonkers. I mean, look at Burger King and their tacos. They did not
do
that. They did not do that.
This is why Burger King should be out of business.
That's absolutely right. I mean, you make a good point. And I'm not going to be the guy who sits here and argues that Arby's isn't phenomenal because I've tried 9 amazing things from them. Like, I think Arby's, and I think, like, oh man, a bite of that big kahuna thing we tried, or like the bite of the meat mountain where I just had all these different things in my mouth. That's going to come back to haunt me when I run for president. But I think it's just, they know what they're doing. They must have a great test kitchen. And I don't know how we could get in on like being testers for their food, but we should probably write a letter to somebody.
For a moment, ponder the reality in which you and I never got to try this.
Why would you ask me to think of such a depressing universe? I don't want to do that. No.
So happy for park and rides.
Oh my God.
For gas stations.
Yeah. We would have had to go far east to get this.
Oh, Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I would have gone.
I would have gone too. I'll go again. I'm going to be taking a lot of bus rides from now, I'll tell you that much. I mean, yeah, I don't even think it's the meat. Like, I don't think it's the Wagyu that's making it so good. It's just this perfect mixture of all these different things.
I mean, we haven't even actually called out any of the vegetables,
mm-mm.
But pickles are thin but crunchy.
And the taste is there.
And the onions are thin but crunchy.
And they're not like your diced, see-through, transparent McDonald's exactly. onions. These are like... They look like I chopped up a red onion in my kitchen and threw it on here. And I think that about all the ingredients, they look like if you were to go to a grocery store for a barbecue, lay out all your accoutrements for your burger fans. It's good lettuce. It's good onions. Pickles are fresh. It's just, God, they're never going to miss.
They're never going to miss.
When they do miss, what are we going to do?
And they have almost no one who they would let down if they did miss. Like, they could miss.
The stakes are low.
Exactly.
And they're still crushing it. They've got a gun to some chef's head saying, get it right. Do it again till it's the best thing you've ever had. And that guy, you know, props to him. Now, Nathan, did you purposefully pair this movie with Arby's? Because you knew I would be in like a cloud of pleasure and joy and would have to positively associate this burger with the movie to make me like it more?
I thought we would pair this food and this movie because Arby's can do everything. Arby's can do everything. And yet, here's the contrast between the two.
Yeah.
No one is, I guess...
One's not a member of a cult-like religious organization.
Yeah, we're a member of the Arby's cult.
I'd honestly sign up.
You know, this burger is selling out, so obviously people are trying it. But I think that still there is a criminal lack of interest in Arby's in general. Unlike Top Gun Maverick, which is a smash hit.
Man.
Breaks the record for the biggest opening on Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. Breaks the record for how well it held up in its second weekend. Not only is it bringing people out in absolute droves.
Yeah.
It's bringing out a lot of people who do not go to movies anymore. Yeah. Generations of moviegoers who have this affinity for the original Top Gun movie.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give a single shit about Marvel, Star Wars,
no.
Fast and Furious, anything like that.
Correct.
And now they're coming back for more. I saw this twice. My second viewing, there was a big line in the lobby of the theater for it to check in.
Mm-hmm.
People in front of me and behind me were... looking around, like, they didn't know how theaters work anymore.
Oh, my God.
And I told them, I explained to them, like, oh, yeah, you check in with your email.
Yeah.
And they're like, we haven't been to a theater in 20 years.
Yeah. I had the exact same experience. I went to see a different movie. I walked in. I was late to my movie. And I'm in a rush. There's one guy in front of me. So I go, this will go quick. It's probably like a 65-year-old guy. He's got a pocket full of cash and change. The lady's saying, yeah, what seat would you like? He's trying to use a touch screen, but it's not a touch screen. I was like, oh my God, this movie's going to make so much money because you're absolutely right. It's bringing out these people who just would not have ever gone to a movie again. Maybe. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
it's such an event. It's such, and I don't know, like there's been other big movies, but this one just seems to check all the boxes for people to get back to the theater. This is a reason to go sit in front of a giant screen. Mm-hmm. And there's very few other movies that I think have just that pure drive to get people out. Like it's watching this at home. Like nobody's saying to each other, like, oh, let's wait till that comes out on streaming.
Right.
Everyone's like, let's go. Biggest screen possible.
So here's my question to you. You know, a lot of people really love Top Gun.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't love Top Gun.
Yeah.
Anyone who loves Top Gun has seen this. For those who don't care about the original, who are listening to this, who may have never even seen the first Top Gun, is Top Gun Maverick a movie that you can recommend to some moviegoers, or is it a movie for everyone?
It is 100% without a doubt a movie for everyone. It is not overly, you know, I think of like things that rule movies out for people, you know, overcomplicated movies, poorly made movies, movies that are a little maybe too gory or things like that, or too dark, too depressing, hopeless or things like that, or movies that just are maybe too fast paced and energetic and don't. This movie is just, it's, what were we talking about earlier that, you know, just kind of stays in the middle lane. Like it just is. It's
Our podcast quality.
Our podcast quality. Yes, exactly.
It's the Top Gun Maverick of podcasts. We all know this.
But it's got heart. It's got action. It's got incredible feats of filmmaking. Mm-hmm. It's got a killer fucking soundtrack. It's got
romance.
Romance. Yes. Lighthearted bits. Homoeroticism. It's got everything anybody would ever want.
And heteroeroticism.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, and it has these things that the original Top Gun did not. You know, the original Top Gun didn't have a totally gripping plot. It was kind of a dud of a movie. If you go back, I rewatched it the night before, and not much happens in Top Gun.
It is an hour and a half long music video.
Yeah, essentially.
Which is cool.
I love it. I still love it. I grew up loving it. I still love it. But like this one just, it checks all the boxes that that first one missed, and it does it in an excellent way, and then it just amps everything else up too. But it's not outlandish, it's not too crazy or like, you know, super complex or anything like that. Like it's simple enough for everybody to have fun with it, and it seems like literally everyone in the world is.
I completely agree. The group that we went with, some of us love Top Gun or love Tom Cruise, some of us don't care about either of those things.
Yeah.
We were all crying at times. We were all wowed by this.
Yeah.
It is the absolute, unquestioned, most improved sequel of all time. Not necessarily the greatest of all time, but when compared to the first, which is already a cultural phenomenon, to make a follow-up that is so much better in every single way.
Yeah.
My hopes were high, and it was so much higher than my hopes actually were. It is, in terms of what a blockbuster sequel should be, I think it is the absolute perfect formula that every other sequel or reboot ever has strived for, and everyone will strive for again, but probably will never match. It gives us more of what worked in the first movie. It fixes the stuff that didn't work.
Yeah.
It gives us great new stuff. It makes it for everyone, whether or not you care about the first movie. And what I think is so special about this, it is so timeless.
Yeah.
Like it feels like people describe this like, oh, it's like a classic blockbuster, but it is so modern.
Yeah.
It is the most like cutting edge in terms of tech, in terms of like what they actually did to make this movie happen. It is, you never could have made this without tiny IMAX cameras that can fit in the cockpit of a jet.
Yeah.
Like they,
and the strength of those straps that they had to use to tape Tom to the front of the jets to get those shots. I mean, that stuff is technologically advanced.
They just, I can't emphasize, and some people maybe don't consciously care about this, but you still feel it when you watch it. They actually filmed this. Like, we are in it. We're wading through a sea of CGI, 3D model landscapes. Like,
let me tell you, watching Free Guy and The Lost City, I have never appreciated non-green screen movies more in my life. Like, I was, it took me out of those movies. Not that I was that into those movies, but just, it's all real, you know, in this movie. Like, sure, there's some VFX and things like that, you know, sure. But, like, these shots are just mind-blowing to think about how they got.
Every one of the actors, not just Tom, they're all actually flying these jets for hours at a time. They went through a 3-month boot camp to train to withstand the G-force and to be able to actually talk and act while they're flying. Guess who led that camp?
Tom.
Tom Cruise himself.
Yeah.
He designed this camp because there's no one, literally not another human on Earth who has the flying capability, yet also the acting capability, because that's the key, is being able to do all this while not being like,
aah! he's getting closer and closer to just actually being a teacher at Top Gun. Like that's, I think that's his end role.
This movie is about Tom Cruise.
Like, yes, it really is.
So they apparently, the original Top Gun in the 80s, mm-hmm. they tried filming in the cockpit and everyone just threw up and passed out. And they're like, this is impossible.
Yeah.
And then Tom Cruise in the decade since, he has his pilot's license. He has one of the planes in this movie is his plane.
Of course.
And only he, literally, not even like the most professional like or like military, no one else could do it but this one guy. And this action, because this, there is truly nothing, absolutely nothing like the action sequences in this movie.
No.
And it is so well edited. Mm-hmm. The fact that you're seeing all these jets and these people wearing masks, and you're following it the entire time. It's so complex.
But it's portrayed so simply. It is very complex. Yes. And that's what this movie, I think, overall does so well, is it is a pretty, you know, plot-wise, there's a lot going on, but it's all laid out so perfectly that mm-hmm. you can just connect the dots so easily and beautifully and wonderfully, and it makes it so fun.
Which, again, you cannot say for the first Top Gun. You watch some of those flying sequences and, like, you kind of get it's the overall chaos. Gist, but you watch jets flying around, you don't know who's flying in them. And it's just one of those, like, subconscious things that it just flows. Mm-hmm. It's just, you never have that moment of, like, wait a second, what?
Yeah. Yeah, and in the first one, I feel like, again, rewatching it, I was like, it's just like, it's like they took a calendar of jets, like, and just showed you, like, a shot from, like, January, an Air Force calendar, and, like, then it cuts to in February. Like, it's so disjointed and disconnected, the flight sequences in that movie. And there's really not even that many of them in the first Top Gun. Not. That this one, and that's the thing I think a lot of people, including myself, I was most excited to see the flight sequences and see how they were filmed and see how amazing they were. I think I might have had my hopes too high on that because I was amazed. I loved it. I loved the flight sequences, but I was like, I kind of wanted more, even though there's a good amount. I was like, give me like another half hour flying around. But man, it's just, it's put together really fucking well.
When they're flying, the scenery, the landscapes, these places they chose to actually film are just gorgeous. Like they're flying low through these canyons and it, like, every shot is just this stunning mountain vista.
Yeah. Yep.
And, again, as opposed to the first Top Gun, so many of those fights, they just take place on a blue sky mm-hmm. backdrop. It's just... Yep. And there is, like, I think one point in Top Gun Maverick where they are just in the sky and there's not really much behind them. And, like, that's just a very brief moment.
Yep.
Other than that, it's, like, they specifically chose to do this and, like, have this mission be close to the ground mm-hmm. so they can have these... Just like the angles of it. And like, it's like constantly sunset.
Yes.
Which they literally dusk. Like they had to film. There's only a few hours of the day when they could film that stuff. And so like they filmed for so many weeks and weeks just to get those. It's just the light. It's just it's perfect.
It's perfect. Gorgeous. It's that afternoon when you're sitting on your couch and that sun just comes through and hits you perfectly.
Exactly.
It is. God, my hand still smells like that brioche bun. Getting some good flavors from my hands there. I want to talk about the standout in this movie, which is Jennifer Connelly's wardrobe. because I think every outfit she wears in this movie, I was like, good God, that was probably was literally designed and made for her. But I was like, this, it's just perfect for the character she plays. And I was blown away by her.
She looks great.
She looks stunning.
On top of just the very good looking actors and actresses, I think Miles Teller is also just rocking
that little shimmy.
He's got the movements. Doing. He's got the shirts down. I mean, he rocks the mustache. Like, he made me want to try the mustache again. I'm like,
he's got a mustache like you. I think that's your level of mustache. You can do that.
I've literally never felt a stronger compliment than that because I watched it thinking I could never pull it off.
I think you could. His mustache is not that good.
But he just looks so good with it. Okay, it's like.
Well, he's Miles Teller.
Like a hot person, like, puts on shoes, and you're like, I could rock those shoes. And then you try it, and you're like, no.
Well, I can't. I don't, because I'm a hot person, so I don't understand what you're saying there, but sure.
There are so many visual touches that, and maybe this is just standard equipment, but, like, their helmets, the visors, are, like, this really nice gradient of, like, purpley-orange. Or, like, when he's in the test flight, and he's got these LEDs in his helmet, they actually... They made a similar helmet for him in the last Mission Impossible when he did like the
skydiving thing.
Yeah. And they've talked about how those lights are not only are they not functional, they would actually dangerous. Be distracting. Yeah. It'd be worse for you, but it allows the viewer to see the shadows of the face.
And then it's Tommy in there.
Exactly. Because because that's the whole point. I want to see Tommy.
I want to see Tommy going fucking Mach 10, baby.
Tom Cruise talks a lot about doing what he can.
L. Ron Hubbard. Okay.
Can we? Here's a little thing. Here's I'm because I find myself having to, you know. And it's understandable. Tom Cruise is.
I love that. You don't even have to finish sentences. You're like, I find myself having to. And it's understandable that people feel. And I get why he's.
Tom Cruise is an insane person. I would never want to be actually in his life.
Yeah.
You're
telling me if Tommy landed a plane in the street outside right now and said, hop in.
No, I would like go say hi to him.
You know you're not coming back.
I don't want to be in any vicinity of his normal life.
Yeah.
I can't imagine anyone wanting to do that. I think that he is a person who I don't condone anything in his personal life. Mm-hmm. His insanity is also the reason why he does what not a single other human being will do for the sake of movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love his movies.
Mm-hmm.
And there are countless people who make movies or involved in making movies whose personal actions I do not condone. Oh, and absolutely. By enjoying their movies, I do not condone. I'm not co-signing any aspect of their life.
Yeah. I was very anti-Tom Cruise, I think, before I met you. And I thought he was crazy. And then you know, I'm a person who loves passionate people. I love seeing people who love what they do. Again, it fucking lights me up. And like you, through talking to you for hours about movies and a lot of those hours about Tom Cruise, I came to realize against my, you know, own intentions of wanting to hate Tom Cruise and not appreciate anything he does. I came to realize the amount of work he puts in and the insane amount of devotion he has to his craft. And that is something I do appreciate. But yeah, you're right. He's fucking nuts. And I think the most people in the world have just decided, let's keep him in the movies and let's just only watch him in the movies. And that's all we need from Tom.
Yeah.
And he's he just goes into the shadows once he's like done, you know, like he's not, you don't hear anything about him.
Like in like the early 2000s when like the worst Tom Cruise stuff, like it, you know, the couch jump, the divorce, the, you know, Scientology, that was all like at the forefront.
Yep.
His career was in this really weird place where he was doing it was like his lowest point of, don't even know what he was trying to do with his movies.
Yeah.
He has in the last decade, I think, just embraced the fact that he's like, no one else is doing this. Okay,
yeah.
I'll do it.
Yep.
I'll do what no logical human being would ever do.
Which is put on a shirt after you're sweaty and sandy.
He wants to save cinema. He is so passionate about saving the theatrical experience, which trying to do that single-handedly is vain and dramatic.
But that's just what Tom is.
But I have never, ever seen a film that makes a better case for the theater-going experience than this movie.
I'm going to think on that, but I think I agree with you. I think I agree with you.
Everything that we consume is in context with everything else we consume. Mm-hmm. And we are in this really weird place, especially after the pandemic, even more so, where movie going is one type of thing, and almost all other types of things are on television or they're movies that go to streaming.
Yeah.
There's plenty of entertainment that works. Like there's plenty of dramas that like you and I watch on HBO or on Netflix. Yeah. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Watch it at home. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love watching stuff at home. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
But TV will never, ever, no matter how good our home theater systems get, it will never be like going to the movies. It's not just the big screen and the loudspeakers. It is the immersion and the communal emotional experience.
Yes.
It is such a breath of fresh air. And I'm going to try to talk about this without shitting on any other movies. I'm going to really try. But it's such a breath of fresh air to watch a movie that's this exhilarating, but also has a story that I actually care about. Yeah. Like when we watch a movie like, these are ones I like.
Yeah.
Like, you and I watched Ambulance recently.
Yeah.
I love Mission Impossible, all those movies.
Mm-hmm.
Army of the Dead's one from last year, we both really
like. Yeah.
With those movies, as much as we like them, we really like them.
Yeah.
We still disregard the fact that the story is not good.
No, absolutely.
This movie somehow has more thrills than anything, and also a lot of heart.
Yes.
This isn't just like a cash grab Top Gun 2. It's Top Gun Maverick. It's about a character.
Yeah.
So much more so than the original. Mm-hmm. It's just better than the first in every single way.
Yeah.
We recently talked on the show about requels, which are like reboot, sequel, combination, and everything is this these days, where you take, you know, an old property, Star Wars, Ghostbusters, Rocky, you reboot it with a new young cast, but you bring back the original star or stars, and they're kind of more side characters. You treat those stars with reverence. You use them to pass the torch.
Yes.
Jurassic World, Creed, the new Jackass, Jackass Forever.
Yeah.
Star Wars The Force Awakens, Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Sure.
The new Scream. Like, there's the new Matrix even.
Yeah.
There are almost every successful series in the past like 30 years there is now a requel or one in production.
Yep.
Top Gun Maverick has one thing that none of those movies have and that they all wish so badly that they did have. And that is the fact that the star is still a star.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the only one. Mm-hmm. Can you, like, just like a thought experiment, can you think of any other like 80s or 90s or even 70s, anything that would be brought back to bring in multiple generations, and yet the star is still a star?
Give me like a Terminator with a modern day Arnold. I'd think about it.
He 2 years ago that happened.
That's true.
He literally came back.
Was he in that?
Yeah.
Oh.
That Dark Fate or whatever. Yeah, he's in that movie. Watch.
Okay.
And no one cared.
Yeah, that's true.
I would have thought the same kind of, I mean, I would think that about like Ghostbusters or even like Star Wars. Like, I mean, Star Wars Force Awakens was huge, but
what
like
about Blade Runner?
That happened.
I know that happened, but that's what I'm saying.
But like, is there any other
that could,
is there happen. Any potential example that actually would be anywhere near this successful?
Maybe the Muppets movie?
It's possible. Michael Caine. Still
Michael Caine. But fair, good point.
Yeah. I think that it's easy to be cynical about Hollywood and the movies that they greenlight, because so many of those movies are, these sequels and reboots that feel very uninspired. Mm-hmm. I assume that's what Top Gun Maverick would be.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the studio, Paramount, they would have been happy if this movie was just decent and did like good business.
Yeah.
But the filmmaker, Joe Kaczynski, the director, and Tom Cruise and the rest of the cast, they aspired to greatness.
Yeah.
And I wish this film all of the success. All of the success.
You think about it, we recorded our Summer Movie Wager episode, what, a month ago?
Yeah.
Not even? And none of us thought it would be this big. We all thought it's going to be a dumb reboot, requel. And then like a week maybe after we recorded that, the reviews started coming out and they were all just astronomically good. Like just everyone saying it's the best movie, it's going to save theaters. And we were like, what is going on? Nobody picked it higher than like 4 or 5 in the Summer Movie Wager.
Yeah, I think I was like 6.
And it's number one and not. There's no way it's not going to be number one.
Yeah.
Literally no way.
Unless for some reason Thor is like amazing and does way better than Doctor Strange.
Maybe.
Then Top Gun will be the number one movie this summer. Yeah.
And it's just astounding to me how in that 1 week, everything I saw coming out about it was just so positive, overwhelming. And I kept thinking like, what is going on? This can't be right, because I've been burned so many times by other remakes and things like that. And I was like, it's Top fucking Gun. How good can it be? And it's just astounding to me how well they hit the target on this. And I think a huge chunk of it is, you know, in the first one, the characters are so ridiculous that they're not even, they don't even seem like real humans. Like they're caricatures of humans. And in this movie, I think everyone is more vulnerable, like dialed down a bit in terms of ridiculousness and the things that they do or say. And I think that's what really, like having these believable characters who have issues and vulnerabilities and problems, like makes it so much more realistic than just a bunch of like bros flying jets, you know, and makes you so much more invested because your empathy just skyrockets for everyone. And it's, I mean, they did a good thing. They did a good thing. Put that on the poster.
Let me ask, we got to get into spoilers soon, but simple question, Oscar contender.
Technically, yes.
And by that you mean?
Like, yeah, sorry. In terms of like, the tech, cinematography, editing, sound, production. Again, Jennifer Connelly's wardrobe should definitely win. I could see it. Acting? No, I don't think so. Best picture? In my head, I say no. But
in your heart?
In my heart, I definitely say no. And I think logically, it just doesn't. Blockbusters don't win Oscars most of the time. You think it's going to win an Oscar?
Win is a different story. Yeah. I think that it will probably win, like, editing and maybe sound.
Yeah.
Cinematography, probably a nomination. I think that this is the kind of movie that the Academy has been dying for.
Yeah.
A movie that appeals to people who, frankly, don't care about the Oscars anymore, but might if they found out that that movie they loved was nominated. Yeah. And is a movie that we're halfway through the year. We have a long way to go.
Yeah.
I think that this is genuinely one of my favorite movies of the year and one of the most well-made all-around movies of the year. Mm-hmm. I think it's totally deserving. We'll see how the rest of the year goes, but I think that even if it doesn't end up being one of the 10 best of the year, they just have to do it to show that they still give a shit about what average moviegoers actually care about.
So you're talking they have to do, when you say they have to do it, you mean a Best Picture nomination?
Nomination, yeah. Okay. Because for a couple of years now, people say like,
I haven't seen any of those movies.
Yeah, and like you have people saying they should nominate Spider-Man because it was huge. People actually liked it. And it's like, stop.
Yeah.
But this is like, I think you couldn't lob an easier ball towards the hitter than like, this is exactly what you need to stay relevant as an awards body.
That's true.
Do what you got to do.
Oh my God. Imagine Tom Cruise's acceptance speech. If he wins or gets up on stage, he would be just fucking vibrating, I'm sure.
I don't think he's ever won an Oscar. He's got a couple nominations. I don't think he'll get in for actor or anything, but I think that the technical awards you listed plus picture, that's my guess.
Yeah.
I think it's going to get 4 or 5 nominations.
I'm intrigued. I don't know. I could see it happening, but I also think that the Academy would be like, Top Gun, it's beneath us.
I think most people really like it.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
I'll leave us with this before we move on.
Yeah.
I saw a tweet from a guy who was kind of writing off this movie by saying, the fact that people are fawning so hard over Top Gun Maverick says more about the current state of movies than anything else. And as myself, someone who is fawning over this movie, exactly.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
If we got 5 movies like this every year, this wouldn't be a big deal.
No.
We get 0 movies like this any year.
Yeah.
And I treasure this so much.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen it, absolutely check it out.
Yeah.
It's currently out of IMAX. I have a strong feeling that like 4th of July weekend, probably coming back to IMAX.
I'm surprised they didn't bring it back for Father's Day weekend.
Yeah. Jurassic World really just trampled over. Fuck?
That'll be out of IMAX in a week.
We got Lightyear then too.
Ugh.
And then Elvis, of course.
Ugh.
We got to move on to spoilers. Before we do that, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Let's. Today's episode of Fast Food Film Friends is brought to you by U.S. Navy Military Propaganda. Top Gun, Maverick, good. You like seaplane go fast? You like big boom in sky? You like face pull down while plane go up? Tom Cruise say join U.S. Navy today.
And we're back, and it's time for our spoiler snack segment, the part of the show where we eat a snack and talk spoilers. Before that, Kevin, this morning you posted a poll on Instagram asking what topics the listeners wanted to hear about.
Yeah.
What'd we hear?
A lot of people wanted us to talk about the hot new Barbie pics that came out of Ryan Gosling as Ken. Margot Robbie's pic's been out for a while, but I think this Ryan Gosling pic came out a couple days ago, and literally I scrolled Instagram for a full 2 minutes, and it was the only picture people were posting. It was the only thing I could see. He's a very, I'm sure if you Google it, if you haven't seen it, because you've been under a rock, go get an Arby's Wagyu burger and then go home and Google it. It is the tannest, I'd say like a Trump level tan, Ryan Gosling, with early Marshall Mathers bleach blonde hair.
Yeah.
Looks like he's in decent shape, I'd say. Pretty decent shape. I don't know what that movie's going to be. Like, I'm so confused by it.
It is easily my most anticipated of next year. It sounds ridiculous and kind of looks ridiculous. Directed by Greta Gerwig.
Yeah.
Who did Little Women, which I absolutely loved. Lady Bird, which is a fantastic movie.
Frances Ha.
Yeah, she's in that. Yeah, she's her and Noah Baumbach, I think, wrote Barbie together.
Oh.
Two of my favorite filmmakers.
It just doesn't make sense.
It does. It seems. Have you seen these, like, Dolly AI generation. It sounds like someone was like, Greta Gerwig directs Barbie movie.
Yeah.
And this is the image that pops up. Is like, is that Ryan Gosling?
Yeah.
And his underwear says Ken?
It's just, I hope there's more than one Ken. Because, like, there's more than one Barbie, you know? And so I'm hoping there's, like, other characters who play Ken, too. Or, like, a G.I. Joe, maybe, who gets in.
Well, if you remember from, like, a month or two ago, every actor in the world is either in this or in Nolan's Oppenheimer.
Yep.
Like, they both have dozens of actors have been announced for them.
Yeah. So I'm hoping Gosling's just, like, a quick cameo as, like, Malibu Ken. and I hope he has, like, one line. That's what I hope. But I was very excited. I saw it and I thought, this thing's going to be... Because, like, I feel like with most of her movies, they're pretty, like, understated and calm and, like, I don't want to say, like, dull plot-wise or anything like that, but kind of, you know, dull in terms of their tone and color. Yeah,
they're not in your face at all.
And this is, like, the pinkest, most vibrant, colorful, contrasting shots you could ever see.
You see that photo and you already hear, like, a loud pop soundtrack.
Yeah,
like, it's going to be the most vibrant in every sense of the word.
Yeah. And speaking of soundtracks, Nathan, another thing people wanted us to talk about was new music recommendations or summer bangers. If you've got any bangers to get out there.
I love summer bangers. Do you have any?
I've been kind of listening to some weird music lately. I don't think I've got anything. A song I've been into, which is not at all a summer banger, but Hold Me by Joshua Henry has been on repeat in my mouth. And then I just found a band. I'm not usually into hard rock. But there's a band called Idols that I just discovered and I can't fucking stop listening to them.
Idols.
Idols. IDLES. Their album Crawler is what I've been rocking out to lately. And it's just, it gets me like amped up. It tells me that, you know, I should be louder. I'm living life too quietly. Like I got to get out there and tell an asshole that he's an asshole or something. You know, I just gotta do it. So I'd recommend Idols and Joshua Henry.
That's great. That's actually like up my alley of music.
They have a 30-minute, it's called it From the Basement session or something. And that is what I would recommend you start out with.
All right.
Or they have a Tiny Desk. I started out with their Tiny Desk concert and it was great.
Nice. I have a long going summer playlist. I've been adding to it for like 7 years.
This is public?
It's Apple Music, technically no.
Might as well be fucking...
It's out there, but no one's gonna.
Is it on Kanye's music player?
I'm just gonna read a few recent additions. A band I really like called Rolling Blackouts Coastal Fever have a song called Blue Eye Lake, which is a good just driving with the windows down.
Yeah.
The new Harry Styles has a few great songs. A band called Hundredth has a song called Fantasize, which is also a nice. I picture myself like chilling at a beach.
Yeah,
it's a nice one. Yeah. And then I'm really liking Cooped Up, the Post Malone song.
Yeah.
It's a big song, but it's a good one.
It's good. If anyone wants to know what I'm listening to, I have a public playlist on Spotify just called Songs I Like. And I have almost 700 songs on there. And I just always add to it. Songs I Like, KRiley08. Good luck on spelling my last name, folks. but that is a way to find more bangers. And also some sad songs and mostly just a Star Is Born soundtrack. two more things. People wanted to hear only Nathan speaking. So if you want to give if you want to give him some of that, maybe. That's enough. And lastly, some folks asked for a summer movie wager update as to where we sit currently. As I have been in first all summer and still am, why don't you, a lowly last place, tell the listeners where everyone else stands?
Those who are familiar with this game know that being in first early is actually a bad thing. Because what it means is that you've highly rated these early movies, which is exactly what you did. Mm-hmm. You went Doctor Strange number one.
Sure did.
It's now down to number two after Top Gun knocked it off.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be down to number three or four, depending on how good Jurassic World does.
Jurassic World's going to bomb after this week.
I'm in last place. I own that right now.
Yeah.
Because what I'm counting on is for Thor to beat Doctor Strange. If that happens, effectively, my list, if you just swap Jurassic World and Top Gun, the rest of my list is looking pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So we all missed Top Gun. We all did that wrong.
Yeah.
So
that really
I'm still feeling confident. What are the other places?
I'm sitting at 21 points in first place again as the winner. Your wife, Taylor, is in second with 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, reigning champion, is in third with 19 points. Troy has 18 points in fourth, so we're all about a point away, and then you're way down there at 16 points by yourself.
Now, some of the leaders, current leaders,
yeah,
also believed a lot in Bob's Burgers and Downton Abbey. Bob's Burgers.
I did not put Downton Abbey on my
Bob's list. Burgers has made what, 25 million, something like that?
28 million?
That is not making the top 10.
Yep.
And you guys
yep.
will make no points. Yep. You currently have points because it's one of the six movies that's come out this summer.
Correct.
You will not in a few months.
Well, we'll see.
Downton Abbey also has underperformed, which is exactly what I predicted.
Yep.
So as far as the lower portion of the list, I still really believe that we have Lightyear, we have Nope, Minions, the Black Phone's another one that's coming out soon. I'm excited about. I mean, if I could bet right now on anyone, I would still bet on myself.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Not obviously. Okay. If I was like, you know Objective. What, I fucked up. I would bet on someone. I know I bet on me still.
I would always bet on me, even if I knew I fucked up.
And that's your fatal flaw.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Hubris, absolutely. But I just know DC League of Super Pets and Elvis are going to bomb completely. So. I think that'll help me a bit. But that's the summer movie wager update. Should we talk some Top Gun spoilers?
I think we should have a spoiler snack.
Oh, I'm hungry. I want another burger.
Close your eyes.
And open your eyes.
All right. I have in front of me a small dunce cap.
It's a small wizard's cap. And if you flip that upside down, there you go. Right, that's right side up. These are Jolly Llama strawberry sorbet pops. They're kind of like an adult push pop, but they're sorbet, and I just like the name Jolly Llama.
I love that name.
It's fantastic. Look at the little logo, too. It's a little Jolly Llama.
That's cute.
Thank you. Made with whole strawberries.
Mine's not pushing.
Well, you got.
Oh, it's pushing.
Yeah, you gotta really gotta work it out there. These are available at grocery stores. And pretty much anywhere you find frozen treats.
Cheers.
Cheers. It's my summer go-to.
That was really good.
There you go.
It's like a little smoothie.
Yeah.
You just nibble on.
You can. And it's nice. You know, it's not messy. It's not an ice cream cone. It's not dairy, which is great for me. Mm-hmm. It's kind of my way to stay cool on a hot summer day. These were the last two that I was looking forward to enjoying on a nice outdoor hot day, but I dropped the ball on spoiler snacks, so that's my own fault.
Just to be clear, these are not an Arby's offering.
No.
We have, years ago, we ate the last of Arby's dessert choices.
Yep.
And we now have these, which is I'm grateful for.
I'm jolly. I mean, call me a Jolly Llama.
Remember the early years when every time we had Arby's, we had a different shake?
Yeah, so many shakes. Jamocha shakes, orange shake.
Yeah. Mint chocolate shake.
Oh, man. So many calories consumed. Yeah, they need to... I mean, they've been focusing too much on the meats. They got to get back on the sweets.
I haven't encountered any, like, pieces of strawberry, but I can taste that it's real strawberry.
It tastes like a straight-up strawberry. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I like about it. But, yeah, it's not chunky. It's pretty nicely blended. I don't know how they do that. It's just water and strawberries? Yeah. Basically. Cane sugar. The good stuff. Made by Casper's Ice Cream in Richmond, Utah.
Richmond, Utah. Not the first Richmond that comes to mind.
No. Not even the second or the third. 0 grams of fat. How about that? Not the most exciting spoiler snack we've eaten in the history of the show, but...
It's really good.
The alternative was sardines, so I think I made the right choice for you.
What's nice about this, it looks like more than it is because it's long.
Yeah.
And you're holding it in your hand, you're thinking, oh, this is a handheld snack. I've said
that before, yeah.
What I was going to say is, yet it doesn't amount to much.
Yeah, that tracks. That absolutely tracks. Yeah, it's just you keep pushing, expecting more, but yeah. You can only push so hard. I'm done with mine. That was great. 70 cals. their serving size. Just try to guess like what word they use to describe their serving size. It's one blank.
Pop?
It's one squeeze up.
Squeeze up.
It's not even squeeze.
Oh, there's not even, there's not even a hyphen.
No hyphen. They've taken off the last E of squeeze and replaced it with up. Skis up.
That must be like the universal term.
Not a bad little treat, though.
It was great.
Would you rather have that or a frozen drink from a fast food?
I thought you were going to say a frozen sardine. Yeah, this for sure.
Ooh.
Not only because it makes my taste buds happy, but it's probably going to make my body happy.
Well,
or at least not unhappy.
Not unhappy is a better way to put that.
Speaking of simple, goes down easy.
Made with real fruit.
Made with real fruit. You know, this movie, we've done this thing on a few episodes recently where I like to read through the entire like Wikipedia plot description and we kind of stop every now and then to comment on things.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that might be a good idea for this one. And then I read it and half the words are just like military terminology and names. And I was like, we don't need this.
We don't need it.
So, it starts out with the Mach 10 test.
Yeah, which is a great way to start off. Like, let's get him going as fast as a human can go. He's the fastest man on Earth.
Like, and he's doing what he's doing for no reason other than to prove something to himself and everyone else and to give people jobs.
Yeah.
Again, this is the Tom Cruise story.
Yeah.
He's like, we're going to give film crews something to do, and we're going to push forward. We're going to do things that literally no one's ever done and no one should do. And that people are trying to shut us down.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep going.
Yeah.
This is what Tom Cruise does.
It is. I mean, it's like that, you know, that rant he went on when people weren't wearing masks.
Exactly.
It's that, but in plain form.
I don't know if he knows. I don't know if he knows that this is a fictional movie.
He might not, actually.
He's like, you guys were recording this?
I think what hooked me, I mean, I love this opening intro. Like, what a cool way to... First off, the intro to this movie is exactly identical to the intro to the original
title. Oh, yeah, like on the...
Kenny Loggins, Danger Zone, they're launching planes, they're catching planes, it's great. And then you're like, okay, it's going to be the same fucking movie. And then that happens, and you're like, oh my God, it's not. But when he ejects and he lands, and you get like a laugh in the first like 4 or 5 minutes, because he goes, you know, where are we? Or where am I? And the kid goes, Earth.
It's a great scene.
Such a great scene. It's such a good line. And I was like, oh my God, this might actually be good.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
I totally agree. I mean, the visuals of that test, that's really the only kind of like nighttime. I don't know if it's night, but it's just dark.
Yeah.
Is he just in space? So it's like,
I think he's pretty high up in the atmosphere, but.
And it looks fantastic. And like the heat running off of the surface of the jet.
It
makes full use.
It sets the scale early on. Like it shows you this is a big movie and we are going to cover some ground because he is moving in that one. You know, it's a fake plane, not a real plane. Lockheed Martin engineers designed a fake plane.
Interesting.
For that. Yeah. They called it their some team at Lockheed Martin, like SWAT team or not SWAT team. It has a better name. Stank team. It's something weird. I'm telling you.
You know, he crashes all that. He's chastised for doing what he did by Ed Harris. Ed Harris, perfect casting.
Yes.
As the guy, just to give him a...
It's the same character from The Rock.
Same guy.
Skunkworks. Lockheed Martin's Skunkworks was the name of the team.
Yeah. Interesting. I like Stank Team better.
I do too.
That conversation Ed Harris has with Tom Cruise, it is the thesis statement, not just of this movie, but of Tom Cruise's career.
Yeah.
What you are will soon not exist, and you'll be replaced by technology, and you need to just give up.
Yeah.
And we all know this is inevitable. After Tom Cruise dies, which he'll probably do while filming the movie, there will never be anyone like him because there's no star. Like, Tom Holland
is not going to risk
his life like this. He's never...
No.
Why would you?
He's
there's no logical reason to do it.
Yeah.
And Maverick says to him, not today.
Not today, baby.
And the chills down my spine.
I can't imagine.
Because in these first like 15 minutes, we have the just jaw-dropping visuals and the excitement. Mm-hmm. You have that humor, that diner scene.
Yeah.
And then you have these stakes set with this conversation. These, like, instantly, I'm like, I care about what happens to this guy. It paints this full picture of what's to come. It's so smart the way that they... It is such a character story more than an action movie. It's also... They walk this perfect line of... They ground this scenario, this mission, in a way that it's understandable. And we understand the danger.
Yeah.
And yet, it is not grounded in any real-world geopolitics.
Nope.
Or, like, it is just, like, vaguely patriotic, vaguely nostalgic.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy in this movie is uranium.
Correct.
Which I think we can all agree, not uranium
great.
Bad.
Not great. Yeah.
Like, there's... We don't even know... I mean, maybe, I guess, the very end, a couple other pilots are killed. But other than that, we don't even know that any humans died in the mission.
Yeah.
It's just...
Those helicopter pilots probably died.
Sure, but...
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying is that, like, they knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I think, one of the biggest concerns going into this is a lot of people had was, how is this not just going to feel like military propaganda? Which, in some ways, you can argue it still does.
Mm-hmm.
But they did a really good job of not making it entirely feel that way, yet also you are reminded why militaries exist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to be pro-military to get... There are situations like this that require military technology and skill.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of for, you know, it seems like they're doing a mission, and I hate to use the phrase, like, for the greater good, but, you know, it seems like they're trying to avoid problems popping up with this stuff in the future. And, I think it's very unique in terms of being a military movie that doesn't have bad guys from a certain part of the world. Who are very prominent and usually poorly portrayed. That did kind of surprise me. I mean, it just seems very hard to do, but they did it. I mean, they nailed it.
And then in the end, when they finally do show those enemy pilots in their planes, they look more like Star Wars, like stormtroopers than like actual, like, it feels less like a war movie and more like a sci-fi.
They remind me of, like, Team X Blades from the movie Brink. I don't know if that's, all black outfits and sleek looking unis, and you just know they're kind of not the best.
Maverick went to help him out and they just yanked him down on the ground into those hay bales.
That's right. Yeah. Throwing gravel on the ground and everything like that. Yeah. Crazy.
Once he gets his mission, he visits his bar. You know, where he sees Penny.
Can we talk about this fucking bar? Like, this is the one scene that I have the most issues with. Like, I love that, like, he meets the students the same way, you know, he met his instructor in the original Top Gun, like, makes a fool of himself. And then, boom, the teacher walks in the next day and they're like, oh, shit. I love that. But the fact that this woman makes him buy 300 beers twice... And then like, kicks him out of the bar as well. And then he actually, like, brings a giant wad of cash the next day. I was like, what is... I would be like, get the fuck out of here. I'm not buying this whole place a bar. Like, even if I do kind of love you or want to be in love with you, like, no fucking way. Just absurd. Just absurdity in that one premise.
I agree, the bar scene is probably my least favorite scene of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's... Although it doesn't do it perfectly, it does... paint a picture in your mind of, like, man, he must have really wronged her. Like, not to the point that she won't...
That's fair.
That she won't humor him. Like, she still is like, oh, Maverick, like you. But, like, he must have fucked up.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder, I want to know that history there.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out in Top Gun 3.
That bar... What I did like about the bar is, like, the sense of community.
Yep.
It felt nice. I mean, like, the jukebox and, like, the... Playing the piano and, like... Just the fact that...
It is the same bar from the first one, right?
I actually don't know.
It's got
to be. I'm assuming it is.
It's got to be,
The fact that there's, like, these little rituals that everyone there knows, like the bell. Like, everyone knows that they get the whole... They don't have to explain to anybody. Yeah. He's the only one who doesn't get it. And that makes him, in that moment, it reinforces that he is the outsider.
Correct.
In this community.
Yeah.
I do think that, like, the shit-talking between the young recruits is, I'm like... All right. This is, like, the one thing I like more in the first movie. Like, Iceman and Matt. There's no chomps. There's nothing like... I mean, it's...
It was pretty bad.
Dialogue's a little...
It's very, like, PG-13 shit talking.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah, okay. All right, guys. Keeping a little too clean there. I think a lot of like the really any dialogue or like, I don't want to say throughout the whole film, but like any dialogue that's adjacent to Jennifer Connelly and like the romantic plot line is pretty kind of cheesy.
That brings me to an idea that I've been trying to put into words, and I think I finally figured it out. Everyone calls this the ultimate dad movie, and it is in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even just the action and just the fact that it's about an actual middle-aged person who's grappling with their age. Like, it's a dad movie.
Absolutely.
But on a deeper level, it is about a man who is never quite able to communicate his feelings.
Yeah.
Whether that's romantically with Penny, with a friend like Iceman, with a mentee like Rooster.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many moments where he starts to say something, but just kind of holds his tongue and instead displays his love through sacrifice and bravery.
Yeah.
Sometimes through illogical acts of bravery that shouldn't be encouraged, but like that's what makes him a hero still. It's total fantasy fulfillment for anyone who cares a lot about the people around them, but doesn't always have the right words to express those feelings, which describes dads.
Dads. I was going to say dads.
It's just, and what you're describing, anytime that he has to talk his way out of a situation, he struggles. Yeah. And the dialogue is, you want him to say something better and he doesn't.
Yeah.
And then he just takes that energy and is like, you know what? I'm going to go secretly fly this mission. Mm-hmm. I'm going to
steal
a plane. Take you on a motorcycle ride. I'm just going to like do something that is in some way physical or reinforces my ego.
Yeah.
Just to show you that I like you.
Do you think that's how Tom is in real life?
Yes. I do think that.
Yeah, I think you might be right. I really think you might be right. But yeah, I mean, yeah, the romance part of it, like, I feel like, you know, with the lack of history that we have, you know, it's kind of like pretty seemingly low stakes on that side of things. And like, I think it's really interesting too, because, you know, this movie, I think with male vulnerability in general and like an aging middle-aged guy and dating and, you know, that whole aspect, it's, kind of unique in covering that. I think, you know, most of the time people his age in a movie are not the romantic interest. You know, you'd think it would be like Miles Teller who would have a relationship in this one, or one of the new hot shots, you know, like it's kind of a cool approach to that, I think.
Yeah. And even more than him, someone her age, like actresses struggle way more with, like, once they're in their 40s and 50s, they get kind of aged out of Hollywood or aged out of these kinds of roles.
Definitely.
There's not many movies that are about aging.
Yeah.
I mean, there are, but they're smaller movies that they're not.
And I think it's
huge crowd pleasers.
This age, like, there is about, you know, older people, but this kind of weird middle ground, you know, that's not, you're not young and upcoming and learning things, and you're not old and dying and regretting and making up for things. You know, you're kind of just in that weird gray area of like, am I old? Am I young? Did I make the right choices? Do I have more choices to make? And it's kind of cool to get that, you know?
You're nearing the end of that period of life where you can still do things.
Yeah.
And you're like, I kind of want to do things for as long as I can.
Yep.
Again, it's about Tom Cruise. Like, in a few years, he's not going to be doing this stuff anymore because he physically won't be able to. He is at the end. Like, Mission Impossible is ending in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Like, he's nearing the end of that road. And this is him grappling with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Like, he's probably, if he doesn't die jumping out of like an airplane or something, like, he's probably going to live on for many more years and have different kinds of roles, have a new chapter of his career where he's like maybe smaller, maybe side characters.
Maybe.
But he just wants to do everything he can right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a type of person that we don't see much of in movies.
Yeah.
And it's because that stuff isn't very relatable to like a 15-year-old, because most huge movies have to get teens and kids on board. But like, I think that it does it well enough that even as myself, I'm in my 20s and I still see that. And I'm like, man, I feel this, you know, it's that good.
I mean, even me in my mid to late 40s, I still, you know, can almost relate. Yeah, I mean, he wants to do things. He wants to slap on some blue jeans and go to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to have the crispest white tees ever made readily available to put on after he's sweaty and sandy.
I really liked the beach scene.
I did too. I loved it too. I mean, why are they all wearing denim? I just don't get the denim part of it.
That's just the throwback. It makes no sense.
I know.
It never made sense to begin with.
Correct it in this one. It just makes it. And then they're all just so, I mean, not near the first Top Gun. The amount of sweat in every scene is so consistent. It is upsetting. You're like, did somebody just spray my TV with water? Why is everything wet? So it's a little less sweaty, but it's like just watching somebody who's that sweaty, not towel off or anything, and put a t-shirt on, sends a chill down my spine. I hate it so much.
Ugh. There's this recurring theme of don't think, just do.
Yeah.
Do you remember in 2020?
No.
When Tenet came out.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a video of Tom Cruise going to see Tenet, I think in like Europe.
Yeah,
somewhere.
London or something.
And he had his mask on and he like recorded a video saying like, I'm back at the movies. This is great. And it's him walking to the theater. It's a slightly bizarre
video. I remember that, yeah.
That movie has that whole thing of like, don't try to understand it, just feel it.
Feel it.
And think about Tom Cruise in that theater. He's already filmed Top Gun.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, God fucking damn it. They took our idea.
Yeah, probably.
But what Tenet wanted to do for cinema.
This movie did. Yeah.
Everything that we thought. In fall 2020, we're like, Tenet's going to bring people back. It's going to save movie theaters.
We were pumped.
And first of all, it's not very good.
No.
Second of all, it didn't save anything.
Mm-mm.
And Top Gun Maverick actually did save movies as much as I think any movie possibly can.
Yeah. Yeah.
On a different note, there's a scene in this movie that kind of breaks my heart.
Which one is it?
It's when he is sneaking over at Jennifer Connelly's house.
And jumps out of the window.
Jumps out the window, which is a great, funny
really
scene
good bit.
When she sees him out the window. Daughter. And then, just don't break her heart this time.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It kills me. It's just like,
how
do you go from like laughing to
gut punch.
Yeah, gut punch so fast. That's great writing.
It is great writing. That was just a great bit, great scene in general, but that line, like, because the daughter's just there, sees him, and you think she's gonna say like, "Mom, like, there's a guy down here or something," but she's like what, 14 or something, probably. Mm-hmm. But she's so aware of what's going on and the dynamics between him and her mom, and has the insight to say that. So clearly, again, he must have really fucked up and hurt her in a big way to have left that big of an impact, where her daughter is like, "Don't make her go through that again."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one didn't get me crying, but that did. It's a powerful scene. I mean, it tells you a lot of the history without telling you details of the history.
Yeah. What about the Iceman scene? Did you like that?
I did like that. I was very curious how they were going to incorporate Val, knowing his condition and everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of it was done via AI, I think, like an AI voice is what I heard. Because in the movie, it looks like he's talking, but I heard that.
I think he has one line that he speaks.
I don't think it's spoken.
That's why I'm theoretically it's spoken, but I get what you're saying.
But no, I was just very glad to see him because I've got nothing but goodwill towards Val Kilmer. Yeah.
I thought it was handled very well, considering the circumstances.
Tasteful, good, emotional.
Yeah.
And like what a testament to Tom Cruise's acting is like that scene felt super natural. And I think a lot of actors would have had a very hard time acting with, you know, a computerized voice or text on a screen. Like, that's tough to, you know, go back and forth with and to kind of riff off of. And I was like, wow, you know, it makes in your head, it builds a history of them talking like this often.
Yeah.
And it tells you they are still talking a lot because Tom Cruise walks in, isn't fazed at all by the use of the computer or, you know. And it's like, oh, so they're in touch. They're talking. They're close, you know? And so I thought it was really actually pretty well done.
That's the thing about people who go into this wondering if they need to know about the events of the first film. Most of the events that are important to this new story are actually things that happened between the films that they just give you hints at, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It does a really good job of... It paints a picture of, I feel that they've had decades of friendship since, because they only had the one moment at the end of Top Gun that they become friends. That's it. Yep. But in this one, you're like, those are lifelong friends.
Lifelong.
And Jennifer Connelly, too. It's like, those are partners who have had history, yes. both good and bad.
Can I tell you the line that I think got me the most in terms of emotional?
What's that?
Talk to me, Dad. Yeah. When Miles Teller says, talk to me, Dad, I'm getting tears. I'm going to tear up right now. After hearing, it's like a minute after Tom Cruise says, talk to me, Goose.
Yeah.
And it cuts to Miles. He says, talk to me, Dad. And you're just like, oh, oh. Just,
well, in the very end, when they, when the mission succeeds,
yeah,
it's what my dad would have done.
Yep.
And that just like makes you want to be a better person.
God, it does. I do still think that Tom Cruise should have died in this movie. I think it would have been...
You mean Tom Cruise and not Maverick?
maybe? No, I wouldn't wish death upon that psychopath. But no, I think Maverick should have died in this movie. I think Miles Teller should have gone looking for him, found him, but he got shot by the helicopter, just one bullet or something. He's bleeding out. And Miles Teller walks up. Tom gets out one last, you know, great line to inspire Miles Teller to be the next Top Gun instructor. And then, you know, just that last line before he drifts off to the old, you know, scrapyard in the sky. I think that would have been so much better because now I know he's going to try to come back and do another Top Gun, I think.
I do think that the studio will try to make more. I really don't know how much he'll be involved or if he'll just be, you know, a tangential character. I don't know. Because I think that it is an effective passing of the torch. I would like to see Rooster again. I want a bunch of these characters. I'm like, I would be down to see. Even
Bob?
If it's...
Give me some Bob.
I felt the same way as you, where there were definitely moments near the very end where I thought, I really think they're going to kill him.
Yeah.
But it just would not have been quite the same movie. Like, I wonder if they even debated doing that when they're writing it. Sure. Like, should we do this? But it's riding off into the sunset, because he literally flies off into the sunset.
Yeah.
That's like kind of a death. It's like the metaphorical death in a way that is, this could just be the end for Maverick forever, which is a type of death.
Yeah.
But also you're left imagining, oh, he has someone, because throughout most of this movie, he's trying to be the best man he can be. And like he wants that relationship. He wants the success, the mission. He wants, you know, the dignity. He wants his friendships. And like, there's all these things that he wants, but he never can quite have. And it's just him striving for them. I think that if he ended the movie dying and not actually getting any of those things, it just wouldn't have felt quite right. And even though it feels a little bit, it's wrapped up in a bow too nicely when he gets to hang out with her in the end, and he gets to like say his last words to Rooster, and he gets to have the honor. It really is like, it's the only right way. It's again, that's the fantasy fulfillment. That's the dad movie aspect of it, is that you want to get all those things and then be like, you know what? I did it. And I'm leaving.
I think as a dad, I can say for all of us dads that we would have preferred him to fly and do an engine stall and come back plummeting towards Earth, pull up at the last minute, camera zooms in from the side, profile of him just barely scraping the ground, pull down his aviators a bit, give a wink to the camera, and then have like a Porky Pig close, circle close on him. I think that would have been the ultimate dad ending. That would have been pretty good. But I still think they should have just killed him. But I get, I can appreciate the ending. I just think, like, think of the gasps. Think of the emotions that would have evoked had he just died.
Man. Just unrelated health problems.
Ate a bad burger or something, you know? Salmonella again.
He's like, it was only 9% Wagyu. I'm not eating this shit.
Oh, man.
I mean, from there, the climax, the last like almost hour.
There's one move in the air that I just like fucking blew me away, which is when like he does like, he protects Miles, you know, saves him, and then just like, foof, like flops back like to get to him, I think.
Yeah, flops back and then like lets go the whatever they're called.
Yeah.
To
the flares.
Yeah, interfere with the missile and then it works. I mean, that shot.
Yeah. Breathtaking.
Yes. Literally I just sat in my seat thinking, this is everything. This is what it's all about.
How many times do you think they shot that? Tried to get that shot?
A lot. They spent weeks and weeks.
I know.
Just flying
in jets. It's bonkers. But that was, I mean, the whole climax scene is there's like three mini climaxes in it, which is just, that's how I prefer to climax. It was exhilarating.
You worry if you're going to die?
Yeah. You never know. A friend comes and finds you in the woods. It's just how it goes sometimes. But no, I think the whole third act like is just great. You're on the edge of your seat. It's so insanely well shot. It's just so cool. And I hate to use the word cool, but it's just fucking cool.
We don't have to overcomplicate things.
No.
It's cool.
It's cool. It's just cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
It is.
It's okay. Electrifying.
Electrifying. Oh, perfect. I'm not going to go with, but electrifying. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And then that's the end of the movie, I think.
There's a lot.
There's a lot we skipped over.
There's a lot in this movie that I don't have to tell you how good it is. It just is.
If you'd have told me at the beginning of this year that A, this would be number one movie of the summer, and B, that both of us would be, well, I knew you would fucking love it, but that I would be like, this is a great movie, I would have been like, you're honestly insane.
I definitely would not have thought that either. Yeah.
Well, speaking of unexpected greatness, if you're looking for that, look elsewhere. If you're not looking for that, you can find all of our episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor.fm, anywhere podcasts are found.
And if you like us and what we say and want to support the show, you can leave us a review on whatever weird platform you're listening on. It's the best way to support the pod.
You can also grab some of your very own Fast Food Film Friends merch at fastfoodfilmfriends.com. We have fighter
jets.
Helmets.
We have jets. Full-size jets with our logos on them. Also helmets.
Cost a cool $2 bill.
Yeah. It's nice, though. It's nice. They're real good quality jets.
We're pulling in a lot of ad revenue these days.
Oh, my God. So much. But the jet money is going to be big. Once somebody buys one, we don't even have to do any more episodes. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Fast Food Film Friends, Twitter at FFFF Podcast, or email us at fastfoodfilmfriends@gmail.com to let us know what we should eat or watch next. I don't know if we've got anything lined up.
I mean, there's Lightyear, there's Elvis,
Jurassic World, but that's
I just don't want to.
Yeah, I'm fine not.
Elvis? Can we agree to Elvis?
No, we cannot agree to Elvis.
What's early July? Is Thor? Or is it Nope?
Ooh, it's probably Nope.
We can I do feel like Nope. That's later.
Minions?
Minions, for sure.
Minions or... Actually, Thor comes out July 8th.
Until Minions.
Farewell.